Hey friends, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with me, Dr. Donnie, and my co-host, Chief Todd LaDuke, episode 123.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, Todd, let me kick this right over to you and introduce our guest this morning.
Hey, Donnie, welcome. Welcome again to the Sunshine State. It's crowded down here, but we can always squeeze one more in. So I'm glad it was you and your family. Welcome to Florida. I'm excited about having you closer and working more closely together. We've got a great episode on tap today, and I'm really excited about it. It's a friend and a colleague that I've known for some time. Both in professional circles through the IFC, and really just excited to have a great conversation and have some learning today for our listeners out there. So I've got Chief John Butler from Fire Chief of Fairfax County, Virginia with us. So Chief Butler, good morning. It's great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's great to get together with you two fine gentlemen and have a conversation on anything relating to public safety, fire and rescue services, and the responder, which is the centerpiece of all that we do. So looking forward to having that conversation.
I love it. We're excited as well. I know you bring a wealth of diverse experience to the table with your leadership, and we've had some fantastic guests on here. Most of them you all know well. We've had Dr. Lori Moore. We've had Eric Gablix from the EMI. We've had members of IFC, Metro Chiefs, Chief Freeman from on the West Coast. And so why don't we start? I think, you know, I mentioned before we started taping, you know, we've got hundreds of listeners that tune in and listen to the podcast. And Donnie always reminds me, we even have a global audience from across the pond. So for those folks that maybe aren't as familiar with your journey, why don't you start by sharing with us? I know you've had some military service and yeah. You were in Howard for a little bit. And so tell us about your journey, how you get started and where that's taken you.
Sure. Certainly, I'd be happy to. I had never aspired to be a firefighter or paramedic. If anything, I thought a natural progression would be I'd become a law enforcement officer. And I say that because after high school, for the first few years in my late teens and early 20s, I joined the Marine Corps. I was a United States Marine. I wanted to be the Marine that people think about, that people saw on TV, in the movies. I wanted to be an infantry Marine because I thought, if I was going to be a member of that force, then let me do what they're known to do and do it well. So I became an infantryman, out of Camp Lejeune, and from 1989 to 92, almost all of that time was spent in combat. 89, I went off to Panama. That's when we were having a lot of the narco wars and Manuel Noriega and all, you know, we're in the jungles in that part of the world. And that was in 89. And then in 1990, while on the ship in the Pacific, we were kind of turned around and headed to the desert to go to Iraq and Saudi Arabia. So I spent a lot of time in combat. After returning from those tours of duty, there was an opportunity to go to Quantico, Virginia, where the officer candidate school is, the Marine Corps officer candidate school. And I quickly jumped on that opportunity, wanted to take a break. No young man my age should have, you know, three combat action ribbons on his chest. You know, there's just something wrong when you have, you know, that many encounters in hostile environment. So going to Quantico was very attractive. It would slow me down. I'll get a 9-to-5. I'll teach some new officers, some officer candidates, you know, the art of war fighting and doing some other things. Well, Quantico is pretty close to where I grew up in Maryland. And while in Maryland on visiting my parents, a friend of mine told me that the fire department, the local fire department was hiring. Now, I grew up in Howard County, Maryland. So when he told me the local fire department was hiring, I said, well, you know, I'll tag along with you. I'll go wait in the lobby and you know, see how this all plays out. I was his cheerleader. I was his ride and his cheerleader at the time. The friend of mine, he was also a former Marine that he and I had met, you know, in the Marines, and our friendship and our brotherhood had grown from there. So just to hang out with him while I was on vacation, on leave, I ended up going to the fire department headquarters. And one of the test proctors asked me in the lobby, well, kind of told me in the lobby, hey, you better hurry up and get upstairs. The test is about to start. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. You probably mistaken me. I'm just somebody's ride. I'm just going to be hanging out here in the lobby. The person I brought is upstairs already to take the test. So the uniformed person, the Howard County uniformed person said, okay, well, suit yourself, you know. And then he stopped at the elevator and turned around and said, you do know it's open to the public. If you've got your driver's license on you, that's all that's needed. You know, it's a walk in, come on in and take the test. And for the very first time at that moment, I said, you know, I think I'm going to go upstairs and take this test. I'm curious to see what aptitude do you have to be a firefighter? That's interesting. I'm going to be like, you know, fly on the wall. I want to know, is it like the ASVAB, which was a test that we took in the military, an aptitude battery. So I'd be curious to see how they test to see if you're going to be a good firefighter. I'm going to go upstairs, hit the elevator button, went upstairs, took the test. Long and short, I passed the test, and my poor buddy didn't. he didn't. And
you still talk today?
What's that?
Do you still talk to each other today?
We stayed friends for forever, you know, for
a long time.
And he's since passed away in the last 10 years, I think it's been, you know, but it was an awkward ride. We for years until he died, gosh, it was the greatest conversation in the backyard cookouts. And, you know, when we told the story, he went on to be successful in another profession, you know, and everything was fine. So here we are. I passed this test, and I'm told, well, you're going to have to come back in a couple of weeks to do the physical ability, the run, hop, skip, jump, push-ups. So, all right. Well, you know, I'm only an hour away from Quantico, so I came back up and I did that. And then I said, now what? I said, well, you got to come back in a couple of weeks for the interview and bring a resume. And I said, forgive my ignorance, but what's a resume? Because I had one job since a few days after high school. It sounds so weird right now to say I didn't know what a resume was. And the HR lady kind of paused and kind of gave me a free pass when she realized, oh, he's a Marine. Yeah, he's a military guy. They probably don't operate in that kind of world. She goes, well, I'll tell you what, fill out the application. Here's a pen. Here's the paper application, and show up in a couple of weeks. Well, I long and short, I get the job, and I realize I'm coming in to the academy with a bunch of people who were either former firefighters or current laterals or volunteers. I quickly learned that the room was full of people who knew something more than I did about this profession. And I also concluded, well, I'm going to have to work really hard. I'm going to have to be, if they're firing on all pistons at 100%, I'm going to have to do 120% just to compensate and keep up with their 100%. You know, this should be the last time someone asks me like as in with the word resume, that I was behind the culture. You know, I have to catch up on what a large diameter hose is and what it can do and what it can't do, and couplings and appliances and tools. What was rote and known knowledge by many others, I had to kind of speed it up. I remember the class laughing at me when I raised my hand on day one and asked, I think we're going through the logistics, the housekeeping of how the academy was going to run. And I asked, do we go off campus for lunch? Is there a lunch break? How do I have a lunch break? It was a legit question to me. All right. What I quickly realized is everybody had lunch boxes. Okay. And it was ran, we ran it like a fire station culture. Simple questions like 24-hour shifts. How does that work? Do you stay awake for 24 hours? You know, so I got a lot of laughs at first. Like,
you thought you were going back in combat again, staying awake.
Yeah. So I went through my career in Howard County for 25 years. And then in 2018, and I ended up being the first person from the ground up to be the fire chief. Since I've been the only person from off the street to make it through every rank and ascend to the fire chief's position. So I'm rather proud of that. This Marine grunt kind of walks through the door and puts the work in, and things turn out pretty good for me.
It's a very inspirational story, one that I'm going to have to tell my son to make sure he listens to this episode, because he was 82nd Airborne and he fought in Afghanistan, and now he's a full-time firefighter, just got that position a little bit ago. And
very cool.
So very inspirational story, and thank you for all your service. And
absolutely.
Well, I got a ton of questions I could ask you, but that would steal the show. So I got to be quiet and turn it over to Todd.
Yeah, I'm sure we're gonna work these in, and that's why I love doing these episodes. You know, as however long I've known you, John. I didn't realize you were an accidental firefighter. What a great story. And you know, we focus so much on recruitment, and you know, how do we find the right folks with the right fit for the organization, and that's just an inspirational story of hard work and putting in that extra effort to be successful, and that journey has certainly taken you quite a ways from the initial recruit training. Why don't we talk a little bit about, I know you came into Fairfax County.
Yes.
I think it'd be fair to say it, you know, perhaps a difficult and challenging time. That was, I'll let you explain, the circumstances, but certainly looking at it from the outside. And I had the, honor and opportunity to come up and do a presentation maybe a few years before for the Officers Association put on a leadership development seminar conference. So I get to know some of the folks, and I mean, it's, certainly a great organization. And, but when you came in, it seemed like it was a challenging period. And can you talk a little bit about that kind of transition for you in the organization and where that's taken you and the organization today?
Absolutely. I retired. Well, let me back up a little bit. I was doing well in Howard County, Maryland as the fire chief. I think we were all getting each other. They seemed to respond to my leadership, and I liked the department I had grown up in, and they had trusted me to be their leader. And there came a time, I had been watching what was happening down about 45 minutes south of me in Fairfax, Virginia, on the other end of the Beltway in the Northern Virginia area. Like many people, I'd grown up enamored and just smitten with Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department. In Howard County, we used to, in the 90s, there were two questions that were always asked. What's Fairfax doing and what's Phoenix doing? And we would just copy and paste their policies, their practices, change the letterhead, And then, you know, that was it, Fairfax and Phoenix. Over some time, I started to watch from afar, from the nosebleed seats, what I thought was some degradation of that brand, of that reputation over, you know, over a period of time. I wanted to see where, you know, where that would go, when and how they would pull it up. Well, again, back in 2018, at my 25th year, I saw the opportunity. The position was vacant for a fire chief after, you know, they had some run-ins with some not favorable publicity and probably some practices. No one person was tagged as, you know, the villain or whatever, but just the brand was taking a hit. And I remember this one particular day in June of 2018, and I'm in Ocean City, Maryland, on the beach. Maryland State Firemen's Association is having their conference, and I'm there in June, and I'm on the beach, literally on the beach, and I see the ad. I'm doodling on my phone, and I see the ad for the fire chief's position. And for the first time, I thought, maybe I should apply. I mean, I'm at 25 years in Howard. I always said I would leave on high ground. I didn't want to be the fire chief that was, air quotes, retired, or, you know, want to spend time with their family, you know, or some of those things. I wanted to leave, like all of us want to leave on top. And I thought I'd grown a bunch of chiefs, assistant chiefs and deputy chiefs who definitely do my job. I thought we had a really good bench. And the little administrative thing is, at 25 years in Howard, really equated, actually it was 26 years. It really equated to 30 years for me, because Howard County gives you military credit. So while I'm sitting there on that beach at 26 years, it is a 30-year career. You know, it's a 30-year pension. So I said, well, you know, this might be the sweet spot. If I don't do something different now, I won't do something different, and I'll be here for the next 50 years. You know, if everything stays the way it is, we'll all be here, and I didn't want to get stagnant. I didn't want the organization to get stagnant. You get it. So I applied. I applied on the beach right there. I clicked the link, and there was, on my phone, using Dropbox, I dropped a resume, and I, with my phone, hand wrote a cover letter, and I submitted it. And a few days later, the headhunter called, and he said, "We're going to come up to Howard. We really want to talk to you." And I said, "No. It doesn't work that way. You don't come up to Howard to talk with me. I'll meet you at a coffee shop. I'll meet you somewhere, you know, downrange." You know, I'm the sitting fire chief. I haven't kind of put this out there yet that I'm even applying anywhere. More so, you go into the receptionist and say, "Hey, I'm Headhunter John, and I'm here to speak to the fire chief about a job." You know, so we laughed about that, and I did meet with him, and everything else turned out what it did, and I was offered the job in Fairfax, Virginia. I went into it with a premise that the organization could use a different kind of leadership. The attraction to me was, I think I can lead them out of wherever they are, and that would be beneficial for the two of us. But good grief, I get to wear the Fairfax County Fire and Rescue patch. I get to be the leader of Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department, known for Virginia Task Force 1, USA 1. You know, their hazmat, the technical rescue, the work they're doing in the global fire service, you know, wow, you know, so it was great opportunity, and I pounced on it. We had a lot of work to do. You know, at the time, the organization was still under a Department of Justice consent decree for things that had happened in the past, in the 80s and 90s, and so on. We had some cultural cleanup to do, some leadership credibility to gain, some high ground to gain. And, you know, we went in on it. The first meeting I had with staff, I don't remember if someone openly asked a question or I sensed a question and I said, you're probably wondering if I'm going to come in and bring some of my friends. Because at the time when I took the job, there were the number two position. I had two vacancies there. And I had enough vacancies that I could have brought a small team of, I'm using the word friends, fire chief friends. And I told the leadership team, I said, you're probably wondering if I'm going to bring people from the outside. Well, I'm not. I'm going to bring one person with me. She's been my executive assistant for a long time, more than, you know, probably 15 years. She and I had grown up together in the apartment at Howard. I said, I'm bringing her with me. But with regard to the bugles and chief officers, I'm going to find you all. I'm going to find the talent here. You're here. I know you're here. You're in this room. You're in the organization. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to do some shoe leather. I'm going to find the talent. And we went to work on that. And we've turned now. So July 10th, next, well, I was going to say next month. Well, it's not next month anymore. July 10th of 2022 would be 4 years since the Board of Supervisors selected me. It's already been 4 years. You know, it's, time just flies. And in that time period, we've gone through a number of leadership positions. Many have gone on to do really good things. Chief Chuck Ryan, he's in Tucson, and Chief William Garrett, he's in Manassas, Virginia. Chief Tony Jackson, he's in Newport News, Virginia. And I could just go on and on with the leadership that have kind of up and moved into other positions. My executive officer turns out to now be my boss because he's the deputy county executive for safety and security, Tom Arnold. So I'm really glad that it's playing out exactly how I would hope it would. And that I would just keep growing future leaders. And, you know, there's nothing on, no room on my resume. I don't need another thing on my resume. And I don't plan on being a fire chief for the third time. You know, two metro sized departments is good. It's a decent career. It's a decent, successful career. So now it's all about growing the bench, treating the soil.
Yeah, there's certainly some for our listeners out there, I mean, some great wisdom there. I mean, from a leadership perspective is, you know, you said it in both departments that you've had tenure is, you know, finding that that talent from within. And really, you know, having that bench to replace you, where, I mean, we're all at some point, you know, move to the next chapter in our lives, and in having that that same talent ready to move up and continue that sustainability. It's so important in organizations. Very much. You mentioned a couple names that just really nice to see the great work that they're doing in their new organizations. Chuck in Newport News is thriving with Jeff Johnson as well as their chief. Sure. So great opportunity for folks out there that wherever they are in their fire service career is, you know, to reflect on mentoring others, you know, building others up. Chief, I wanted to talk a little bit to your role in IFC. You're the second vice president currently, Chief Donna Black is first vice president. She'll be sworn in at FRI. But can you talk a little bit about the perspective on a national level with IFC? And you know, I know you're doing great work in Virginia and the Commonwealth, and but at the larger issues of challenges and opportunities facing the fire service. I know we were just at Metro Chiefs, and diversity and equity inclusion was certainly a topic of much discussion. But touch a little bit on for our listeners on what's happening at IFC and what you see as kind of the issues on the radar screen right now for the fire service.
Yeah. So that's a really good question. I've never run for anything. I've never had a political position that I had to run or campaign or you know, get elected by popular vote, if you will. I had been asked a few times leading up the last 2 or 3 years, to, you know, you should consider throwing your name in the hat. I had always said no. I didn't think I had the capacity or the bandwidth to do that. And I think after a handful of no's, there were some really good friends in the fire service that suggested I give this a run. You know, Dr. O'Neill, Chief Mary Beth Michaels, and many other who I would consider mentors thought the time was right. And I had an epiphany, you know, whereas if I keep saying it's not me and I don't have the time and the bandwidth, well, who does? Who am I abdicating our leadership to? You know, why is it someone else's responsibility to lead our association? You know, it is just as much mine as every member of that association. You know, get in where you fit in and make it work. It will never get less, you know, of a full plate. So I jumped in the deep end of the pool and ran a campaign, which wasn't a heavy lift. As serendipitous as it was, I won't give the pandemic credit for anything. Okay, the pandemic was horrible. It is horrible. It's not, you know, nothing to take lightly. But during the pandemic is when I ran for second vice president. Well, there was no travel, so that was a benefit in my world. Society had kind of embraced what we're doing now with virtual meetings and Zoom and Teams and other means of connecting with people. So I leveraged those to talk to divisions and sections and committees and the constituents, constituency of the IFC. And it was selected by acclamation to be the second vice president. So I was fortunate that I didn't have to do a conventional campaign. This next month, I'll become the first vice president. And like you said, Chief Donna Black becomes the president. She and I intend to walk alongside each other, lockstep. We both will be highly involved in the 150th anniversary of our association. You know, we'll both be kind of crossing paths there while we celebrate the IFC's 150th. The board of directors over the last few years have done a yeoman's job to right some wrongs and clean up our act in how to run an association. Chief Rob Brown has done a fantastic job, and the board has done, like I said, the yeoman's job. I'm so proud of what they've done to get back in the black, you know, and kind of align our priorities, even with our strategic direction and strategic planning under Chief Kent Steuben, who will be immediate past president come August. And so I'm also on the board at the Metro, and there is some symmetry between my role on the Metro on the Metro board and the IFC board, because we have a lot of the same priorities. You know, you mentioned DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. This is not buzzwords. You know, with over 30,000 fire departments out there, we are all doing relatively well, putting out fires and putting on Band-Aids. We do that well. We still have a long way to go on what happens in the firehouse. How do we treat each other, and sometimes how we treat ourselves? You know, our mental health, our human dynamics, our human dignity. We'll go out there and treat the public the way they should be treated in most cases, and just dog each other out, you know, internally. So that's where we should be focusing. We should focus on all the areas that have been identified in, you know, the various consensus documents. Wingspread talked about it. Urban Fire Forum talked about it. The Truman Foundation talks about all these things. The CPSE white paper. We are converging on all the issues that are still getting in our way. you know, carcinogen reduction, cardiovascular or behavioral health, diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, and we could go through the good dozen of hot topics, and still a lot of work to do in those areas.
Yeah, you certainly hit on, you know, I think what our listeners, you know, the issues that, like you said, the tip of the spear, we seem always to get the job done, you know, and that is a credit to not only the leadership, but I always say that, you know, the troops on the front line, sometimes in spite of issues, they just do what they do to make sure that the job gets done. But I want to say, certainly coming from safety, health and survival section, those kind of topics that you just enunciated, cardiovascular, cancer, you know, we've worked real hard with the section on respecting our house and anti-bullying workshops. So we're very thrilled and excited. I know you're going to bring great leadership, as with Chief Donna, and I think the two of you together will continue to move IFC in a direction to be in the forefront of tackling those issues. But as you mentioned, we can't do it alone. It's that consortium of Global Fire Service all working together. Chief, I know we're about 40 minutes into the interview, and I want to be mindful of your time. I know you're busy. I want to, and certainly I know we're gonna look to invite you back on for version 2.0. Donnie's probably jumping at the gun here to get you on his Get Balanced podcast, because I think, you know, you have so much wisdom to bear. And with the short amount of time we have left, I kind of want to just put you on the spot with some of that wisdom. And you know, a lot of our listeners are new to the fire service, or maybe just beginning their journey in leadership positions, whether that's formal or informal. With your journey of life, not just, you know, professionally, but you've seen a lot, you've been in combat, you've been multiple metro, two multiple great departments. If you had to, and I know this is probably very difficult, but if you had to pick one pearl of wisdom that you would impart to our audience as they start building their journey and continuing their professional and personal success, what would that be? What would that look like?
It's a mosaic. It's a mosaic of pieces, but they all have the same intended outcome. And it's very cliche to say, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You are an enterprise. You are a company. You are a house. You are a structure, an edifice. You know, your mind, body, spirit, your soul. You know, I blinked and had done a 25-year career in Howard. I blinked again, and it's already 4 years, like I mentioned here. Okay, we're pass-throughs. We're only passing through these roles. All right, we don't own them, and they don't own us. You know, we want to come in healthy and happy, and we want to leave healthy and happy. I would suggest to anyone, you know, work ethics is great. Figure out rest ethics. Figure out the rest ethics. Figure out sleep hygiene. You know, it is a carcinogen. I mean, the World Health Organization and others, and it's been, you know, documented and carved in stone that sleep hygiene is there with other carcinogens, heart health and carcinogen exposure, and you know, clean gear and a strong wellness program. These are not just buzzwords, and we're just running from conference to conference, you know, on stage, throwing, you know, word bingo around. You know, we want you to leave. We want you to leave standing straight up, you know, sitting by the pool, doing things, going on trips after a fruitful career. And we can't start talking that when our responders are long in the tooth, you know, they're entering the drop. Or, you know, we all know the person who starts to fix their injuries in the last year or two before they leave. I got to fix this shoulder. I got to do this and that. At the very front end, we need to start talking to our responders in academies about, you know, suicide prevention and how to care for each other and how to eat right, how to sleep right, and all those things. I think we're doing a decent job. The trajectory we're on from the safety and health section to I think we're getting it, okay? But it's, you know, 300 years in the making. We're not gonna turn it around overnight. We're heading in the right direction with health and wellness, and we just gotta keep it up. We've got a long way to go. We didn't get here overnight.
You know, it's—
Todd, please. Todd, if I could jump in on that. So Chief, my work-life balance work, it's all predicated on, we need physical health, mental health, social health, and spiritual health. And as is the foundation, and I'm hearing you say that, you know, it's the foundation to so much of these other things that we do, how effective we're going to be in our career, as well as what do you think about how effective we are with our families, taking care of these self-care quadrants, if you will, or pillars of physical health, mental, social, and spiritual. I imagine I didn't hear you say it, so I wanted to just ask you a question. I imagine that family health, so when you retire, you want to retire healthy, but you also want to retire with your loved ones with you. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, and I saw it, and I think I experienced some of it. You know, the VA has me documented as PTSD. I'm rated high with the VA on PTSD. For years, I would have denounced that. I would have refuted that. Like, I'm perfectly fine. What are you talking about? You know, and so on. And then going through the battery of exercises and testing and diagnoses to be rated high. I walk around the fire department at kitchen tables and tell them, your fire chief is PTSD rated. Okay. I'm banged up, scratched up, bumped up, just like you. Okay. But I've also worked on finding my triggers, what works, what doesn't work, what gets in the way of me being successful. I've been PTSD since I was 20, in my 20s, you know, before I ever stepped foot in the first firehouse. But I've been successful, you know, under normal judgment or assessment. People would say, well, he was a successful guy. You know, he went through college, he went to Harvard, he 2 fire departments. All that time was with, you know, a rating of PTSD. So we can do it. Now, back to your question, I look back at some of the rough times I had in relationships, marriage or with my children or whatever, like, man, there is a correlation. There's a correlation where my head was when those downturns were happening, you know? So there's a connection. If we're not well and healthy, either coming into the job, working the job, leaving the job, our families, you know, they pay the price as well. We sneeze, they get cold. You know, they didn't sign on for that. They didn't sign on to be the responder at 3 a.m. standing over, you know, a mutilated body, you know. And so we have to, it's a unit, you know, the family unit, as we usually say, and we have to treat it as such.
Some fantastic, insightful wisdom, you know, from living it. And, you know, I'm thrilled to hear you say, we're heading in the right direction. You mentioned Phoenix being that other department over the years. We had, Donnie knows, we had Bruce Varner on the podcast not long ago. And Bruce, I think, told us, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken, he said from when he started riding tailboard back in the day with Bruno, you know, he thought we're about 75% of the way where we needed to be on health and wellness. And I don't know if that 75 is spot on or not, but I do know it's a lot improved from when I started. And I'm sure, Chief, from when you first came on the job, we've made some tremendous inroads. But your point about taking care of ourselves and each other, you know, I think everyone, all of our listeners would agree that if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to do our job, and we're not going to be able to support our family and those that love us. So appreciate your openness, your candor. You're always transparent with sharing your life lessons. And I know that's going to benefit our audience. So I want to thank you for your time today. I know it's not easy to take close to an hour out of a busy day. We're taping this right before the holiday weekend, our 4th of July weekend. So I wish you and your loved ones a relaxing and safe 4th of July weekend. And I know Donnie and I will be pounding at your door to have you back on. And I look forward to seeing you at FRI. And for our listeners out there, there's still time to register. FRI is going to be in San Antonio this year. Donnie and I will be co-presenting on health and wellness and work-life balance, surviving your career. So come out and join us. It's a great conference. Chief Butler will be there. You can meet him in person and say hi to us. So thanks, everyone. And Donnie, I wish you and your family as well a great 4th of July. And our listeners out there, I'm sure, are going to take a tremendous amount away from today's interview. So again, thanks. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chief.
Look forward to another conversation whenever.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.